pitching manager of the Indians in 42.
Oh, good kid. He'll be down in a little while. They haven't.
Tell me the circumstances under which you were appointed manager in 42. I know that Roger Peckinpah moved upstairs, but I've never read whether he was pushed upstairs or whether he asked to go.
Well, no. Cy Slapnicka was our general manager at that time, and Peckinpah was the manager, and Mr. Slapnicka had a heart attack. And it wasn't fatal, of course, but he could not go on with his duties and responsibilities as a general manager of a major league ball club, so they moved Roger Peckinpah up to the general managership, and that left the job open. And I had just joined the ball club out of college in 1940, was my full year. I was recalled from Buffalo in the middle of 1939 with Ray Mack. And I had thought about it and had a lot of experience insofar as responsibilities as captain of my basketball team as a sophomore and captain of my college basketball team as a junior and college baseball team as a junior at the University of Illinois. And my mind kept thinking about Cleveland being a graveyard of managers. They've never really had a manager for over 6 years, and that was Tris Peaker back in 1920 when he won the World Series. And so I was assistant basketball and baseball coach at the University of Illinois. This happened in November, and I was coaching the Whiz Kids when they came to Illinois as a freshman, when I decided to write a letter to Mr. Alva Bradley, the president of the Cleveland Indians. And in the letter, I stated the fact that I thought that I could handle the responsibilities of a manager, and I was young enough that we could start a new regime in Cleveland as a young manager and perhaps instill some spirit and pride. And I thought that I could handle the older ball players and all the responsibilities that go along with the radio, TV, and newspaper men. I sent the letter in, and then after I'd mailed it and it was gone, I felt a little ashamed of it and was hoping maybe he would just file it by throwing it in the waste paper basket, because then I got a little frightened at the age of 24. And lo and behold, I received a call in 2 days to come into Cleveland for an interview, and then I didn't want to go. And only because of my baseball coach, Wally Retker, and my great friend, and who was athletic director and basketball coach, Doug Mills. They talked me into going and actually practically put me on the train to go to Cleveland, and I did, and they insisted that it was just a formality, that Mr. Bradley was going to interview me, and then he would say, "You're too young, forget about it, we have somebody else in mind." But he said it would be great experience to go along, so I did. And Mr. Martin, an 82-year-old gentleman who was chairman of Sherwin and Williams Paint Company, was also on our board of directors at the Cleveland, fought for me, and he changed the other 11 men on the board to go along with a young manager, and then I became manager of the ball club, and it was quite a thrill at the age of 24 to manage a major league ball club. But I had great help in coaching. I had Bert Schotten, Del Baker, Oscar Melillo, and George Soucy along with me to help me with the responsibilities.
Fine. Tell me about spring training in Lafayette, Indiana. I know you trained at Purdue, and I've read where you couldn't use the field until all classes were through, something like 4:30 in the afternoon.
Well, actually not until all classes were through. Most of the classes were through in the field house. Mm-hmm. And then we would use the field house for our training, and they had a huge baseball net that they would lower from the ceiling, where we could have batting practice and infield drills and pitching drills and everything. It was very fine facilities. Red Mackey, former athletic director, set it up for us.
I see. Were there many days in which you couldn't go outside due to cold weather?
Oh, yes.
Snow?
Oh, yes.
Snow in the spring of
44. Oh, yes. There was many days that we were fortunate to be able to train indoors. And when it was possible, of course, we would go outdoors.
Anything else regarding spring training? Anything unusual? Were you quartered in a Lafayette hotel, or did you live in the
dorm? Blue Blazer? Yeah, that's Hotel Fowler.
Oh, really?
That was the old Hotel Fowler that we were housed in. At that time, the only and biggest hotel in the town. There's a lot of stories about ball players in a college town, and me as a young manager trying to take bed check and keeping them from being young again, but it was quite an experience, and the only way we could have continued on with Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm. What about travel restrictions, train travel, or food and gas rationing?
Well, this was the reason for Major League Ball Clubs training north of the Mason-Dixon line. We cut our traveling considerably because of the war years.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever bumped off trains, or did you have to, say, sit overnight instead of...
Yes, we had several problems like that. In fact, one trip we had to take, not by bus, even by cabs, to get to the game on time because of a failure of a train or delays and so forth.
Mm-hmm. In 1942, for some reason, maybe it was just a fluke, no southpaw in the major leagues won more than 10 games. One of your men, Al Smith, won 10, and I think Hollingsworth of the Browns. Do you remember that at all? Do you remember anything unusual about that?
Reasoning? No. No, I really don't. It runs in cycles. As to left-handed power in a league, right-handed power in a league, and it runs in cycles right now. I think you see a predominant number of left-handers who have won 20 games and are great left-handed pitchers.
In the 1942 All-Star Game, which I believe was held in the Polo Grounds, so you and Rudy York hit homers in the first inning off Mark Cooper, and that more or less summed it up for the American League. You remember what he threw you?
Yes, a fastball.
Oh,
Mark
really?
Cooper was a great fastball pitcher, but let me add this to it. In 1942, we were scheduled to start the ball game at 8 o'clock. There was going to be a New York State blackout at 9, and we were going to delay the game for this blackout called by Mayor LaGuardia.
Okay.
But it was raining that evening, and our game was delayed. Mort Cooper warmed up.
It was played at night then?
Oh, yes, it was at night. He had warmed up. We were ready to start the ball game, and he had warmed up his 15, 18 minutes, and he was hot, and he was ready. And then the rains came, and there was a delay of about 45 minutes. Then he had to go back out there to re-warm up. I'll give him that excuse, that he had to come back and get warm again, and he didn't really have as good stuff as he did when he first was warming up, because we observed that.
So you hammered him hard.
In the first inning, I hit the first ball for a home run. The next man singled, and Rudy York hit one down the right field line for a home run, and that was our three runs in the first inning. From then on, we had a delay after two or three innings because of the blackout, but from then on, the game continued.
I see. So he threw you a fastball. Where was it?
It was high. It had to be high. No, it had to be high and over the plate because I was normally a high ball hitter.
I see. Okay. Now, if I'm not mistaken, There was an air raid drill later on that evening, and apparently it created a kind of a panic. Did you know anything about that?
No, I did not.
That's
I know.
Bucky Walters and Danny Littweiler.
No, I didn't know anything about the panic. I know that thousands of people were sitting very quietly in a darkened Polo Grounds for several minutes.
Okay,
but that was it.
Exactly.
But I don't know of any panic.
Okay, now if I'm not mistaken, the next night in Cleveland, the American League All-Stars played Mickey Cochran's Service All-Stars.
That's true.
And I think the score was 5-0.
We were beaten.
The
All-Stars beat
the American League All-Stars.
All-Stars won. I think you're right.
All-Stars.
Yeah.
So, was there anything unusual about that?
Well, I think this is one of the first times in the history of baseball that two All-Star games were played in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was discontinued.
Did the Service All-Stars in '42 have some good
men? Oh, yes. Yes, they did. I can't recall all of them, but I know that they had former Major League ball players.